When we think about Jesus, we remember, as Matt pointed out, He is the great I Am. He is God. Well, there are other titles that identify Jesus. He is Lord. He is our Savior. He's the Lamb of God, the Son of God. There are various titles that describe the various responsibilities of Jesus and His relationship to the Father, His relationship to us. But on this special day, Easter Sunday, I want us to look at one title of His that maybe sometimes we take for granted, because we don't always think about what it means. He refers to Himself as the Good Shepherd. In John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18, I just want to kind of go through these verses and kind of explain some of the things that are there for us to think about. Because when we just think about Easter, and we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, the question then comes to us each, so what? And the so what is what a lot of people do not appreciate. And the reason a lot of people, I think, don't really believe in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, because they don't think about the so what. But Jesus being the Good Shepherd is essential to our understanding of why Jesus came, what He accomplished, and what He is still doing. So let's take a look at this. I'm going to do just a segment at a time. John 10, beginning of verse 11, Jesus said, "I am the Good Shepherd." Now that sounds simple enough, but it speaks volumes. I am the Good Shepherd. Remember previously, someone had come to Jesus, a rich young ruler, and he said, "Good teacher, what must I do to be saved?" And Jesus immediately answered, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good, one who is good, and that is your Father in heaven." Now, Jesus wasn't denying that He was good, but He was denying the man's view of how we human beings use the word good. If I were to ask you, how many of you today are good people? Well, we would all raise our hands. But the reality is it's not true, because we're all still sinners. To be good implies purity in all its ways. So when I go to the refrigerator and I pull out a carton of milk, I take a sniff to see if it is good. And sometimes it smells a little off. Sometimes we forget to eat cereal and whatnot, and it smells rancid. It's not good. And so when Jesus says here, "I am the Good Shepherd," He's identifying His own deity, because He's already said, you can't use the word good and get away with that from a human perspective, because good is not good enough. But when it comes to Jesus being good, that means He is pure. He's the one. He's the right one. There's nothing wrong or foul with Jesus. I'm the Good Shepherd. Now, back then, everyone knew what a shepherd did. We kind of know, okay, shepherds tend sheep. But a shepherd was responsible for the welfare of his sheep, to make sure that they were fed, to make sure they had plenty of water, to make sure that they were safe, and to shear them at the right time, and just look after the sheep. And Jesus said, "I'm the Good Shepherd. I'm the one, the only one who's good to look after my people." And when we think about that as Christians, we need to remember that no one loves us and takes care of us better than our Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else in this world, and it doesn't matter who, it's not a politician, it's not a doctor, it's not a teacher, nobody is good enough for us to rely upon 100%. But only our shepherd, Jesus Christ. He goes on to explain a little more. He said, "The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. When the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. What Jesus here is saying is, I'm not running away. I'm your shepherd. I'm here to look after my sheep. And when push came to shove, what did Jesus do? He came what he came to do. He faced opposition, and at the right time, it had to be the right time according to God's time, he was betrayed, he was arrested, he was beaten and whipped and mocked, turned into a bloody mess, hung on a cross with nails, his side pierced after he had died. And as he's hanging on that cross, he could have at any moment stopped it. But Jesus wasn't running away. Now, it wasn't easy because as he was in the garden the night he was betrayed, he prayed very hard, 3 times, for there to be another way. It's interesting, 3 times. 3, that's a special number when it comes to God. And Jesus took his disciples, had some of them watch guard in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took Peter, James, and John in a little further, and then he went a little further, asking them to pray. But he was in eyesight or earsight of the apostles. And he prayed, let this cup pass, but if it cannot, then your will be done. Now Jesus knew this is why he was here. This was his own promise that he'd made to mankind as God. But when it came down to it, it was not easy. Because he knew what he was going to face. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, I'm going to die. And I'm going to suffer a lot. It's easy to say, but when it comes right down to it, it's hard to go through. And yet Jesus sought the strength to get through. And not just for what he was going to face physically. But he was here to pay the price of the world's sin. Now, you and I know what it feels like to feel guilty when we've done something. We've done something wrong. We know the feeling. But just imagine that multiplied billions of times that Jesus was taking upon himself on that cross to pay for us. It was a huge load. But he was willing, before anything was created, he was willing to do that. But when it came right down to it, as the good shepherd, he could not run away. He sought to see if there, last moment, is there another way? And it says at one point he was praying so hard that his sweat drops became blood. That's how intent he was praying. But each time, your will be done. And after that 3rd time, an angel came and ministered to him, and then he was ready to face what was coming. And as they came to arrest Jesus, he saw them coming, and he stood there and said, wake up, guys. My betrayer comes. He did not run away. As he's being attacked verbally and physically, he had the power with one word to stop everything, but he didn't run away. As they nailed those nails through his hand and his feet, he did not run away. As he hung on the cross, he could have come down easily. One word, he could have wiped everybody out, but he didn't run away. And then what we celebrate this morning, he rose from the grave. And again, he didn't run away. When you read the story, when he woke up from the grave, when he came back into this life, he took his time. He took the time to take the cap off his head, the death cap, and to fold it neatly and set it down. Jesus was in no hurry. When he was resurrected, he didn't leave. As the women came to the tomb, there he was waiting. He wasn't going anywhere. And that evening, when the apostles were still hiding, Jesus appeared to them. He was not afraid. He had already won. But he was going nowhere. He was there for the next 40 days to be with his apostles, to teach them. And then he returned to heaven. But one thing he had told his disciples, when I go, the Holy Spirit will come in my place. I will not leave you alone, but he will be with you and in you and remind you of all that I have told you. And it's been just as Jesus said. He says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. This is the relationship Jesus wanted to have with his people. Now, he came to seek and save the lost. But he came to the Jews first, and the Jews were lost. And he came to save them, and then to also have the good news proclaimed to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, that they may become his sheep. But he said, each of my sheep I will know by name, and they will know me. That's really the sign of being a Christian, of being within the family of God, to being among the sheep of Jesus' pasture, is, do I know him? That's really the test. Do I know him? See, even Satan believes in Jesus. He's even seen him face to face many, many times. And he knows him, and he fears him. But do we? Do we recognize who Jesus is? And do we really know him? Do we know what he says in his word? Because he did say to his apostles, the Great Commission, teach them to obey all I've commanded you. And so do we know those commands? Do we know why Jesus says what he says? Do we know that relationship? Do we have that relationship with him? So that no matter what we face, we know his presence and we know his comfort and we know his help and we know his guidance. If it's all an objective knowledge, that's not enough. It must be objective, but it must be subjective too. To really know Jesus Christ. And that's the desire that is built into all of us. Those of you who are married, when you first saw the person who would become your spouse, were you just content to know their name and who they were? Of course not. You wanted to get to know them. You wanted to spend the rest of your life with them, getting to know them and growing together. And that's the relationship Jesus Christ has made possible for us. And that's how we know we are his sheep, when we are in his presence. He says, I lay down my life for the sheep, and I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. They will listen to my voice. Do we listen to Jesus? He died and rose again so that we may. But we can be obedient sheep and walk with him and know all of his blessings and have the confidence in him as our great shepherd. Or we can take him lightly and not pay attention and be the kind of sheep that's always wandering off. Notice what Jesus said here. I lay my life down for the sheep. He came to seek and save because his sheep were lost. But he died for us as the good shepherd so that we could have life in him. Now, when Jesus died on the cross, he took our sins there. And through his dying on the cross, we have forgiveness of sins because he paid for our sins. But it took the resurrection to give us the promise and the hope of eternal life. And that's what Jesus intended to have. So that now, through the proclamation of the gospel, people can know Jesus. So he's not just a swear word, or not just someone that we acknowledge once in a while, but someone that we know personally and deeply as we grow in our knowledge of the Word of God. He says, I have other sheep. That's you and me. You know, we weren't born and raised, most of us, Jewish. That means we're Gentiles. And what Jesus did was for us as well as for the Jewish people. Jesus said, I must bring them also. That is, his job in this world is bringing people to him. He works through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and he works through us to reach people so that there will be one flock to follow the one shepherd. Jesus went on to say in 17, "The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." Again, these two verses say volumes. He said, "My Father loves me." Literally, it says in the Greek, "My Father loves me because I lay down my life." Now, what Jesus was saying was, it's not that the Father didn't love Jesus unless he did it, but he's saying the love my Father has for me is increased because I'm willing to do this. And isn't that a fact of life? When someone's willing to give of themselves, don't we have a deeper appreciation for that person? And that's what Jesus is saying. What I am doing here in giving my life for my sheep and taking it up again is what pleases my Father, because it's what saves people. And so God was pleased to be able to do this. Think about that for a second. God was pleased for Jesus to die on the cross for you and me. Why? So that he could have you and me and so many others. The Father loved the Son, and the appreciation of his sacrifice made that connection even stronger. But notice Jesus says, and this is long before Jesus is going to die on the cross, he said, "I lay down my life only to take it up again." Notice the confidence of Jesus. If Jesus could have the confidence of facing death and then rising again, then we also can have the same confidence that no matter when the day of our death comes, we will rise again. Because that's what Jesus has promised. If he has the power to raise himself back to life, he has the power to raise you and me. If he could pay for our sins on that cross and forgive us, he has the power to make that stand forever. He said in 18, "No one takes it from me." This is crucial. For too many centuries, people have blamed the Jews for killing Jesus. But everybody's guilty because everybody's a sinner. So we're all partially to blame for Jesus dying on the cross. But the main reason Jesus died on the cross is because of the love of God. Yes, there were those, the religious leaders, the Romans, they wanted Jesus put to death. But that was all working out according to God's plan so he could pay for our sins. He wanted to rescue us, and it took death on a cross. No one took it from Jesus. No one killed him. As he's on the cross, the last thing he says is, "It is finished." And he gave up his own spirit. Prophecy told us in the Old Testament that the sacrifice would have to be the Lamb of God, a Lamb without blemish, that was Jesus, sinless. But he also had to serve as the high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So Jesus was both the high priest and the sacrifice, the Lamb. He had to give of himself. And so he did. Now, it wasn't just a matter of him going in, "Okay, watch people, I'm going to die right now." No, he had to go through all this horrible experience, bearing our guilt, our shame, our sins upon his body. Every whiplash, every nail piercing, every thorn on the head that pierced his scalp, all of it had to do with our sins. But at the right moment, as Jesus is getting weaker, he forgave those there that were crucifying him. And he said, "It is finished." That is, the job was done. And he gave up his spirit. Knowing that come Sunday morning, bright and early, he was going to come back. Because death could not hold him. Death could not hold God. What a lot of people misunderstand is, in spirit, he was God. And in flesh, he was man. Just like you see me right now, but what you see is only my body. It's not really me. who the me is, you know in part, but only in part. So if you were to describe me, you might describe my physical features, and you might describe me a little bit from what you know me, but you don't fully know me because who I am is inside this body. Same with you. And so God, in order to pay for our sins, had to take on human flesh. He had to be born of a woman and be under the law so he could fulfill the law. And every promise made to Abraham was fulfilled in Jesus. And so he came with that very purpose of dying and then rising again so that he could return to heaven. And that's where he is, as our head, head of the church. And one day he's coming to take us home. He said to about this, that this just wasn't his own idea. He said, I have authority to lay my life down and take it up again because my Father has commanded it. My Father has commanded it. That's how much God loves you and me. To pay for our sins and give us that promise of eternal life. We do serve a risen Savior. He is alive today, and He reigns on high. His Spirit, if you're a Christian, His Spirit lives within you, the Holy Spirit. And when we face death, when who we are leaves our body, the Holy Spirit that God's placed within us goes with us. And we get to see the angels, and we get to see the Lord. We get to see all that's beyond this life. Because that's what God wants for us. Otherwise, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus makes no sense. But when we realize God's purpose, we realize that now as God's sheep, we walk in relationship with Him, and He guides us and protects us, nurtures us, as we feed upon His Word and walk with Him and pray and serve together, all in preparation for life eternal with Him. Jesus said, I'm with you to the very end of the age. Those are Jesus' own words at the end of Matthew. I am with you to the very end of the age. So God's purpose is for Jesus to be the good shepherd who came to seek His lost sheep, is still seeking lost sheep, and preparing those who are found to walk with Him and know Him now and forever. So Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, is very important because all that we are and all that we have in Jesus Christ is tied up in Him being the Good Shepherd, who laid His life down for His sheep, but took it up again, so that His sheep no longer have to be declared guilty of their sin, but now have that promise, that sure hope of life eternal with Him. Right now we're going to sing the song, I Come to the Cross, Seeking Mercy and Grace. And you know, it all has to do with the cross. Without the cross, there's no resurrection. Without the forgiveness of sins, there's no hope of eternity. And so for each of us, we need to come to the cross. And if someone's never come to the cross before, never realized your need for Jesus Christ, you need to come to the cross and acknowledge your own sin and repent of your sin. Commit to following Jesus. And Jesus said to be immersed into Him, that you know, through water, in that He places His Spirit within you, forgives your sins. You start all over as a new creation. And then you begin walking as a new creation in regard to Jesus Christ, to walk with Him. But you know, even though we may have been Christians for a while, it's easy to get caught up in the world, easy to be doing other things than doing what God wants us to do. Maybe we stop listening, or maybe we just get busy and we're doing things without thinking about, well, what does Jesus really have to say for me? And we need to come back to the cross and realize the price paid for us and seek His forgiveness so that we can again continue moving forward as his sheep with confidence of what the future holds. Right now, let's stand, shall we, to sing, "I Come to the Cross."